Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Now, how about giving it up for Jesus? We love you so much. We love you so much, Jesus. You're so very good to us. You're so very good to us. We get to be accounted as your worshipers. What an honor. What an honor. What an honor. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody say? Tell somebody near you how good they look. Thank you, Jesus, for this offering. We declare blessings upon it. 30, 60, and 100 fold in Jesus' name. Thank you, ushers. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated. Thank you. How you feeling today? How you feeling today? I got to tell you, if you're not feeling good at this point, I don't know. Maybe you should have took a lap with some of the fellas. I don't know if you noticed, Mikey's been playing since worship. You notice that? Has anybody noticed? He's been playing the whole time. Look at Mikey. He's doing the thing. Come on. Listen, I asked him to stay up to make a point. You know, the flow of the Spirit doesn't end when the drum stops. It doesn't stop when the musicians come down. The river is flowing. And, you know, just like we don't do music just to get ready for the speaking, right? And the serious stuff ends or begins at the speaking, you know, and the fun stuff ends at the music. It's all one Spirit. We worship God because He's worthy. And what happens is it softens our heart to receive the Word. We begin to worship, and it says to enter His gates with thanksgiving. And then we enter His presence with songs of adoration and worship. And then we're prepared to receive the implanted seed, the engrafted seed. And the problem is, in the world, we evangelize the opposite of what the word tells us to do. We try to give people truth. They're not even ready to receive. We need to get people in the presence. And once people are in the presence, they receive the Word, like, eagerly. I'll say it this way. If you heal somebody, they want to know why they got healed. Then you tell them about Jesus. You bring peace to somebody, and you tell them, hey, here's how you stay in peace. There is a God. There is a balm in Gilead. See, we're called to bring the presence. We're not called to rebuke people with words. We're called to bring the presence. And when the presence goes, then people are very happy to receive the truth. People don't receive the truth where there's no presence, because then it's just law. That's a different thing I'll talk about another day. Hallelujah. See, when you teach people God's ways without them knowing His character, then it just becomes religion. And nobody wants religion. Right? We want to teach them who He is, His character. And then they're very happy to know His ways. And so I just have Mikey playing to say, listen, do you feel the presence? It would be here. Jesus would be here. His presence would be here whether or not Mikey was playing. But sometimes we're more open or aware when we hear the music, because we're like, oh, the music's here. That's like, okay. But you know, I encounter Jesus. You know, I like to just be quiet in His presence. I like to just shut up and just say, God, you can talk to me now. I'm just going to set aside this next 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes for you to talk. I'm just going to be quiet. Just enjoy your presence. People have different words for that, different terms for it. Some people call it meditation. Some people call it soaking. Throughout history, people use different terms. And some people play like some real soothing music in the background. And I like to just play the audio Bible. I just listen to the Gospels. Or I'll listen to Paul talking to Timothy, his spiritual son. And I'll be like, talk to me, man. I'm down. And the Lord ministers to me. And I just be in His presence. I like being in the presence of God. I like just shutting up and finding out what's blocking me from Him. Right? And I don't know if you know this, the block is always on our side. And if you could bring it down, then you would have already brought it down. Sometimes you got to figure out what it takes. You got to hear from him. Because he wants to come. He wants to come. That feels good, Mike. I'm enjoying that. You enjoying that? Ah. All right, now just play pads for a second. Just pads. See, we're going to take it down. We're going to wean you a little bit. We're going to wean you, like, you know, because right now you're fiending for more of it. We're going to wean you and try to receive from the word, all right? Uh-oh. There's another wave, right? Watch out. Now try to receive from the word, right? That's a lot of pads. They ain't ready for all that, man. You got to take it down a notch. Take it down. Lose the crowd here. Hallelujah. All right, Mike, you're good. You're good, Mike. That's good. Hallelujah. You feeling all right? If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to it. Yeah. I don't know what we're clapping for, but yeah. Hallelujah. Yay, God. How many of you are tired of performing? How many of you are tired of trying to get it all right? How many of you have just been trying for a very long time and you just feel exhausted because you're always trying to not let people find out the horrible person that you are? That's what the lie tells you. People are going to find out the horrible person you are and then they won't like you. I have a word of encouragement. We already know. And we still like you. We don't hide our flaws nearly as well as we think we do. We think we're fooling people. We're not fooling anybody. Just relax. All right. I got all kinds of things happening in my throat here. All right. Are you in Ezekiel? I know you know this scripture, but we're going to... Did I already say go to Ezekiel? Go to Ezekiel. If you don't know where that is, use your index. It's okay. I got to look all spiritual. People know I don't know where it is. Nobody cares if you know where it is. Can I just be honest? Just go to the index. Find the page. Where did I tell you to go? Anywhere in particular? We'll go to 47. I want to talk about 37, but we're not going to go there today. Are you still drinking? Yeah? If you came here for me, you're going to be very disappointed today. If you came because God has anointed me to do something in your life, then things could work out. Your eyes have to be on Jesus, amen? I got a couple words I'm going to release, just kind of at large, and they'll fit together if you look at them. We're in a prophetic season, and if you're a Christian, you're always in a prophetic season, so, you know, that might be a bit of an overstatement, but we're in, as a house, those of you who call this your house, we're in a neat season of... The Lord is kind of, we're in a season of thin heavens, if you know what I mean. And so I was at Firestarters, what was that, Thursday night? It was pretty good, right? Was it good? Yeah. And the Lord was just kind of rolling through, just kind of doing his thing. I feel bad. How do I say this? Jesus Christ said that the church is founded on the apostles and prophets, right? Yeah? And many people would say that our salvation is founded in the scriptures, right? Which I could even see that. You got to have the right foundation, otherwise the house is all wrong. We were talking the other day, my wife and I and the kids, you know, we were just thanking Jesus for our house. And when we were house shopping, we saw a lot of houses that I did not want to live in. Anybody try to look for a house and be like, "We just want to fire your realtor every third house you go to?" Like, are you seriously suggesting that I spend $300,000 on this? Are you serious? Are you serious? Do I look like an exterminator? Do I look like Crocodile Dundee going to deal with these things coming through my house? Are you serious? If I want to go on a mission trip, I'll fly somewhere. I'm not going to spend $250,000 to be on a third world mission trip. Are you serious? And so one house we went into, and we're like, wow, this is kind of a nice house. It's pretty neat, but it's not perfect, and it's a little expensive, and we're looking at it. And then I realized at one point I'm kind of standing like this. I'm like, what is wrong with this house? And my son had been playing with a ball. Anybody get annoyed with your kids and then you find out the Lord's using them? Oh, if you haven't yet, let's watch out. Lord has a way of using your kids to get your attention, exposing your, lack of patience. And so my son has this little bouncy ball, that you bounce like this and it bounces all over the house. And we're trying to look at houses. And so he gets this little bouncy ball and I'm leaning. And he puts the ball on the floor and the ball just starts rolling away. I'm like, that's gravity. I'm like, this floor is broken. Like, if you put a ball on the floor, it shouldn't move. And it just starts, and it's picking up speed as it's going towards the wall. And I'm looking up at the corners, I'm seeing it's broken, and there's cracks. I'm like, there's cracks in the drywall. I'm like, dog, you want me to pay $300 for a broken house? Are you serious? Like, you just think I got this kind of money to be throwing away to broken houses? Well, what was wrong? The problem was the foundation was broken. And this thing, part of the house was happy where it was. Another part just figured it wanted to go check out some other stuff. And it's slowly sliding towards the canal. And I'm like, if I want a mobile home, I'll buy a mobile home. Right? I like being on the move, but not like that. And this thing had a broken foundation. And we were just thanking the Lord last night that my son brought that ball and made it so very obvious that that was not our house. But, if all you have is a solid foundation, I want a solid foundation. But if all you have is a solid foundation, you're still out in the elements. So I'm all about the solid foundation. I'm all about being founded in the Word. I'm all about being founded on the apostles and prophets. But if all we needed was that, then why would he bring along the teachers? Why would he bring along the evangelists? Why don't we just go outside and hand out Bibles? Why do we need shepherds? Why do we need these people if all we need is the Bible? Oh, I'm trying to, I love the Bible. Anybody who knows me knows I preach the Word. We're doing 30 days through the New Testament. We're doing all kinds. We just love the Word, but it's supposed to be the foundation. This is supposed to be a foundation, and you build upon foundations. When they go to build a house, they spend about a week building the foundation. And then they spend a year building the rest of the house, or 3 months or whatever it takes. But the foundation doesn't take that long. You got to build on top of it. Otherwise, what's the point of the foundation? If all you're doing is building a foundation, you're not really building anything. And so I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Love it, love it, love it. If you have a foundation that's 100 square feet, you can't build a 200 square foot house. The foundation determines how big you can build, how high you can build. If you're going to build high, you better have a solid, deep foundation. If you're going to build wide, you better have a wide foundation. Some people think they're being led by the Spirit and they got a house bigger than their foundation. You're like, this part's good. That part over there, I don't know, so much. It's sliding towards the canal. That don't make no sense what you just said. It's sliding toward the canal. That's not on a solid foundation over there. Jesus said, this is not even my message, but I'm just going to talk for a second. Is that okay? Because I'm just going to do it. I want to warn you, that's all. It's not a warning, it's an encouragement. Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe, right? And they'll do all kinds of signs and wonders. But what does that prove, the signs and wonders? Let me help you out. The signs and wonders prove that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now, you can have a bucket full of dirty doctrine and believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and you can do miracles. Because the miracles prove that you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now, you can believe all kind of other crazy. Let me say it this way. You could still be in sin and win someone to Christ. Has anybody, has God ever used anybody in here and you weren't walking 100% perfect with Jesus? Come on now. Some of you need to put up two hands and a foot. God did that enough for three people. Well, you don't got to be perfect for Jesus to use you. But because he's using you doesn't mean you're perfect. That means that you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's what it means. Don't get it twisted. Don't overemphasize how great you are. It means you believe Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And so we have this word right here, and we're founded on this doctrine, but that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. Jesus is still talking today. And since he never contradicts himself, he won't contradict the Bible. But if all you needed was the Bible, like I said, all you say, oh, you're sick? Here's a Bible. Oh, you're hungry? Here's a Bible. Oh, you're not saved? Here's a Bible. The Bible don't even tell us to do that. Does anybody notice that Jesus didn't have any Bible studies? It's not like he didn't know the scriptures since he is them. Why is that? Well, because he wants us to do something. I'll use Felipe's family as an example. I love the Arrutas. I really do. Love his dad. You'll be in Casa de Pong. That's it. Called Pong. It's Pong. I'm American. I don't know. And his dad is, he's not swinging from chandeliers or anything, you know. And he has his heart to win people. And so he's witnessing to people when they come in. He's telling me about these guys that come in, and he's long-term, he's trying to marinate their heart in the truth and in love. And in one day, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's the living word right there. That's the word become flesh in our lives. And so many of you have so many stories. I chose someone outside the house for that, just so I didn't single anybody in the house out. But so many of you, you just plow and water. And that's built on a... See, if you're built on a good foundation, then the house serves its purpose. I've yet to go in somebody's house and say, can you rip up the carpet so I can just stare at the foundation? I look at the walls and I say, the walls aren't cracking. It must be a good foundation. Must be a good foundation. House isn't moving. Must be a good foundation. Wow, this building goes up really high. Must be a good foundation right here. I don't keep saying, don't go past the foundation because you might get led astray. But that was the purpose of the foundation. God didn't bring my kids for me. I'm here for them. We're the foundation of their life, but they're supposed to way outgrow us. Amen. Ezekiel 47. So we're in a season right now. We're in an interesting thin heavens season. So I'm at Firestarters, and this joy is rolling through the room. And I'm just standing there, just kind of watching it, kind of surprised about what's happening, to be honest with you. I'm like, well, this is pretty good. If I just did this everywhere, this would be awesome. And then I see in the back, I'm just going to be honest with you, don't judge me. I see in the back left corner of the room this massive angel. He's one of them big angels. And the floor, the ceilings are about, I don't know, 15, 20 feet in there probably. And this angel is probably about 11 feet tall. And this was so funny. He looks at me, and he's just standing there. I'm looking at him, I'm like, wow, that's a big angel. He's like this. He's just standing there. And he wasn't like, how do I say it? This is going to sound so weird if you don't know me. He wasn't like one of my angels. He wasn't assigned to me. I know what most of them look like. He was different, and he was there for Firestarters. And it's just rolling through there. See, and you can get all prideful thinking about what's happening as you. He's like this. He's just like, what's up? I'm just on the job, you know. Oh, hey, what's up? Wow, praise God. Huh. And so we and some of you, some people are starting to have some crazy dreams. And when there's a thin heavens, you start just seeing stuff. And just because you see it doesn't mean that you got it. And that's good and bad. It's good because you're seeing all kind of demonic doesn't mean you got demons. You might just be in a bad neighborhood. When we were home shopping, we kind of judged the house off of who we see walking around. It's like, why doesn't he have on a clothes? People should be more dressed than that walking around the neighborhood. Were you the one spray painting that wall? This is not my neighborhood. Right? So just because you see stuff doesn't mean it's yours. Sometimes the Lord just wants you to see stuff. I want to see stuff. One of the prophetic people in our house had a dream, I believe, last night. Dream or vision? One of the two. I don't know. Doesn't really matter, I guess. And in the dream, vision, whatever, Jesus was right here on this stage. And out of Jesus was coming a river. And people were getting rocked because a river was coming. Who wants a drink from the river coming out of Jesus? Ah, just drink it right now. Ah. So those are right here. And as they were looking, all of a sudden, the devil himself, Satan himself, Lucifer, was standing in the midst of it, and they got scared. All of a sudden, the river stopped because they were scared. And then they noticed, if I stop looking at him and I look at Jesus, the river comes back again. And I don't see the devil anymore. Sometimes what we see is what we're looking at. And I'm just here to let you know, what are you looking at today? The Bible tells us about the Bereans, and I got some scripture we're going to get into. I really do promise you. The Bible tells us about the Bereans, and the Bible says of the Bereans, they saw what the apostles were doing, and they went to the scriptures to look for proof of what they saw the apostles doing. What people call Bereans these days are people who are saying, I've never seen it, therefore it must not be real. That's a whole different spirit. That's a different spirit entirely. And let me just say, they saw the apostles doing signs and wonders, and they found evidence in the Old Testament. Can I say that again? I think you missed that one. They saw the apostles doing signs and wonders, and they went to the Old Testament. Can you imagine how crazy it was ministering with those guys? Could you imagine how wild those meetings were? Because their only example was like Elijah and Elisha and people murdering whole tribes with a jawbone. You know what I mean? Like, this was all they had to go off of. Can you imagine what those meetings were like? Can you imagine the anointing comes upon you and that's all you got? And you're like, oh, Lord, don't let me find a jawbone up in here. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to swing a jawbone. That sounds like a lot of work, killing people with a jawbone. You hear what I'm saying? Does anybody hear what I'm saying? And so they saw the apostles do. Now, you know there were no apostles in the Old Testament. Look for the word. It's not in there. You can say there's apostolic people. You can say all that stuff. But there were no apostles in the Old Testament because there were no 12 disciples in the Old Testament being sent out to establish the church of Jesus Christ. Right? It wasn't in there. There's apostolic people. You can say whatever you want. But there were no apostles in the Old Testament. There were no evangelists in the Old Testament. All right? But these apostles saw it, and the Bible says they went to look in the Bible so they could see it. And if they found it in the Bible, they said, that's God. Now, those meetings were crazy. Look at Pentecost. Look at Pentecost and tell me if you could find things like that in the Old Testament. You've got to look pretty hard. But if you're looking for it, you'll find it. You see that the king went and prophesied with the prophets one day when he went a prophet. So the Spirit was poured out on him, he began to prophesy. Well, I think, you know, so there is, but you got to want to make that connection to see the connection. You got to want to stay connected to people. Now, if you're looking for reasons to disconnect from people, you could blame lots of those reasons on Jesus. I'm amazed at how many people can blame disconnecting with people on the Bible. Okay, let me say it like this. They believe something I don't believe. I better not be their friend anymore. That ain't here. That's not unity. Oh, the Bible says I'm not supposed to eat with, well, that's about an adulterer who was sleeping with a family member in the church and didn't repent. Is that what you're accusing me of? Because I think possibly that Jesus is coming a year or two different than you. Are you serious? Are you making those the same things? You're saying I have a friend that you don't like and therefore you're going to cut me off? Because no, you're scared. Just admit you're scared. Just admit you're scared. Don't blame it on the Bible. Oh, the Bible says I can't be your friend. Really? Then why do we have evangelists? Here's what you do. You feel like, I don't know if I could be their friend, Lord, because, well, then just call yourself an evangelist. And now you have no excuses to disconnect from anybody. I'll fix it right now. I henceforth anoint you all and declare before God in the great cloud of witnesses that you all are to do the work of an evangelist. And I now release from you the pressure to not be nice to people because of the Bible. I lift that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. And now and forevermore, when you don't like somebody, you still have to go toward them. And God will not be mad at you for being friends with people. Dominus ominous. All right. Going after some sacred cows here for some reason. My wife's like, get to the point, honey. Ezekiel 47. Is this making sense? Listen. Fear looks a lot like wisdom. Oh, I don't know. I'm scared of that. Oh, wisdom says don't connect with them because I might get something. It sounds wise. It's not biblical, but it's wise. It sounds wise. Oh, I'm scared I might get something from them. Well, yeah, you're scared. That's the problem. The problem is Jesus is right there, but you're looking at the enemy. You're unable to see Christ in someone. Signs and wonders follow those who believe that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Someone believes that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and you separate because of some secondary issue, the problem is not them, it's you. Because fear is at work in your life. It's hard for you to maintain a connection because of the fear. That's the enemy. And God wants you to be free. He wants you to see Christ in everybody. Is it possible? Is it possible that the enemy has caused a fear in your life because that person he knows has the key to your breakthrough? And all he has to do is bring along somebody with the key to your breakthrough who has a little thing in them that you don't like or has a friend that you don't like. Therefore, the enemy has inoculated you from receiving your breakthrough because of your offense. Is it possible that today is the day of your breakthrough if you would just make a determination in your heart, I'm not going to operate in fear and disconnect from people? Is it possible that today is your day of promotion? Is it possible that if you will drop an offense, the Lord will promote you? Is it possible if you just get brave with some relationships, the Lord will bring somebody along who has the key to your breakthrough? Is it possible? Is it possible that he's brought that person already, but because you wouldn't humble yourself to receive from them, you didn't get your breakthrough? Is it possible that many of the people in the Bible did not receive Jesus Christ as Lord because it was a stumbling block that he came from Nazareth? Yes. We're better than the Nazarenes. There's no way that could be my Messiah. Stumbling block. Humble yourself, you would receive the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I got scripture for you. Bam. Well, hallelujah. Ezekiel 47. How you doing, Demetrius? You feeling good? You feeling good? God doing something in your life? I got a word for you. Stand up. Let me just speak it over you real quick. Oh, Jesus. Wow. Oh, Jesus. Demetrius, I see the Lord is going to use you. And there's such a, how do I say this? Well, I'll just say it. There is a, I don't know what the Lord has ultimately called you to, and I don't know what role he's going to put you in, but you can have a flow and not necessarily, you can be prophetic without being a prophet, right? And you all are now evangelists, but you're not in the fivefold office of evangelists, right? I'm evangelistic, and just because I'm more evangelistic than a lot of my pastor friends, they try to call me an evangelist. Well, you're such an evangelist. No, I just care about the lost. I could bring an evangelist and make you feel real bad. Anyway. But Demetrius, there's going to be an apostolic flow in your life. And I see the Lord wants to establish you, wants to use you to establish an artistic flow in people. And I see the Lord using you, not just in artistic measures, but using you to establish artistic communities, as it were. Close your eyes and just receive this. I really feel like, in the name of Jesus, I really feel like you're gonna create an atmosphere where people can flow in some sort of artistic thing, and it could be dance. I know it has to do with music, and it could have to do with a couple other things. But the Lord is going to use you in that, and here's what it's going to take. There's relationships that I see that are sucking the life out of you. And it looks like, I don't want anybody judging this because I guarantee you don't know what I'm talking about. So keep your heart pure. It looks like love, but it's not. Because you haven't seen pure love. Jesus has pure love for you. And once you learn to drink of his pure love, then you'll compare other loves to it. And then it'll be very obvious. But the Lord is going to cut off some things, and it's going to make you feel very hidden for a long season. But you're not hidden. You're in the place of preparation. And so today, I just prophesy over you that you're going to run the race and that you're going to come into everything God has for you. Fire, Holy Ghost! Jesus! Hopefully he receives that. Ezekiel 47. Let's just thank Jesus for the word and for giant print Bibles. Ha. Now, if you think that word was for you, you think I got it wrong? You think that wasn't for him? That was for me. Probably was. Let's receive it. You might like to be part of that was for me. The rest of that, I don't know nothing about that. Receive that. Amen? Just receive it for you. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Watch out. Ezekiel 47, you guys there? I told you we're getting there. Now, this is Ezekiel having a bit of an encounter. Can you imagine people don't believe in visions? How are you going to read the Bible and not see visions? Well, those ended. What? It's all over the Bible. People invent reasons not to believe the Bible. Let's just believe the Bible, shall we? Then he brought me, this is Ezekiel having a bit of an encounter, amen? He brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. Wow, I am getting rocked right now. For the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under the right side. Let me just give you a little advice. Just drink. Okay, the keyboard's not playing. But the Lord is here. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. So what we see here is we see that there is a house here. And it's the house of the Lord. It's a temple. And we see just like a little bit of water coming out from under the door, okay? Verse 2, Verse 3, when the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, He measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. That's about your mid-thigh there. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford or cross or swim. For the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded or walked across, actually, is kind of a better. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. A couple things I want to talk to you about this river real quick, and then I'm going to let you go home, if you can get up. There's a river flowing in here. First thing, you got to recognize that, and you got to come to drink from it. You got to come to drink from it. Jesus says in John 7, he says, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." We talked about this at the beginning of service, during the pre-service meeting. The problem is a lot of people aren't thirsty. They're perfectly happy with where they're at. Got saved when I was 7, that's good enough. My uncle's a Lutheran deacon. That means I'm okay. I got baptized when I was 10 days old, I'm good. Well, good Lord, if the last time you drank is when you were 10 days old. If that's the last time you drank, man, you would be dry and crusty. Many of you right now are living, but you're dry and crusty. You need a drink from the river of living water. You need a drink. And the problem is you're not thirsty enough to know that you need a drink. You just don't know that you need a drink. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied." See, we come to church, and if you've met Jesus and you know Jesus, you come with your offering in hand, right? My family, we like to prepare our financial offering the night before. We figure out what we earned, we write the check, and all that, good to go. You're like, we come prepared to give, right? And you should also come prepared to give God glory and honor and praise. You should come prepared to worship, to minister to the Lord. We should come prepared for that, amen? Don't come and figure out what change you got in your pocket and give God a little tip. That's you know, if that's where your heart's at, that's fine. But there's a more excellent way. The same time when you're filling out your giving, you should come with a withdrawal slip. I've come to receive as well. I've come hungry and thirsty. I've come knowing that I need something from the Lord. I've come to receive. Not the same old, same old. The preacher could give the same message every week, but if you're hungry, the Lord's going to speak through it. He's going to speak through it and feed the hungry soul. He's going to give water on dry ground. And as we look at this river, it comes from the temple under the door, right? As a trickle. And what's funny is the farther you get away from the temple, the river gets deeper. How you doing, Lydia? How you feeling? Must be something very exciting on the inside of her dress there. Hallelujah. See, she's drinking. She's drinking. Listen, if the only time you encounter the river is here, it's probably kind of shallow. You got to splash around in it. Now, I don't mind splashing around in the river. I like to have fun. Yeah? Yeah? But God really wants us to have more. He wants there to be a deep, 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 deep flow of the river of God in our life. All right, let's keep reading in the Bible here, if you don't mind. He says, verse 6. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me back to the bank of the river, verse 7. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "These waters go out toward the eastern region and go into these other places. Then they go toward the sea and then made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh." See, everywhere that this river goes, there's life. Would you like more of a flow of the river of God in your life? Then you need to take it to the world. Because God will give you more to let it flow to the world. Does this make sense? This isn't complicated, right? It's kind of simple, right? This is like just kind of makes sense. If I want more, I give away what I have, he gives me more. He's very good that way, right? Yeah? Is it good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here, I believe. And I believe he's pouring out his river right now on people who are thirsty and hungry. But you got to be hungry and thirsty enough to say, "I need more than what I've already received from the Lord." Come on, I just give you liberty right now to receive from Jesus. If we're going to be us, we might as well be us. Now, if religion worked, I'd just be more religious than anybody. I would just be the most religious person you know, Josh, if that worked. But it's not worked for me. If I just said, "Do better," that don't work for you. What we need is the Messiah who said, "I come to take away sins." And we need the one in Psalm 16 where he says, you know, "I am going to make you on the right path." That's what I need. I'll make my ways known to you. I just need you to receive and be free to receive from Jesus, because we really don't need just another religious meeting. Is anybody with me here? Is anybody on my side with this one? All right, let's keep talking. The Lord showed me recently, a lot of people like the river of God, but they just like to stand on the banks. They enjoy getting their feet wet in it. They enjoy watching other people playing in it. They enjoy seeing what it can do and being known as somebody near it. They don't necessarily like being carried away in it. Because that's scary. Because who knows where God is going to take me in this river? Stay engaged. You with me? Because who knows where God is going to take me in this river? And that can get very scary. Amen? It's very scary. What if God takes me? Now, here used to be the big fear. The big fear was, what if I give myself to God and he tells me to move to Africa? That used to be the big fear that everybody had. Then Heidi Baker went and took over a nation. Now everybody thinks, well, if he sends me to Africa, I'll get a nation. No, it does not work that way. Well, I'll say it differently. What if God takes over my life and tells me to be nice to people I don't like? Is anybody scared of that? Is anybody scared that in prayer God's going to tell you to be nice to somebody you don't like? Let me say it this way. Is anybody in here ever honest with the preacher? If you say, "I'm not going to raise my hand no matter what." But when you give yourself to God, the river may take you places that you don't necessarily want to go. But when you're flowing with God's river, he's going to take you places that you didn't want to go until you get there and you realize how awesome it is to be there. But you've got to get in the river deep enough to where you're floating. When you let it rush past your feet, you're still in control. A lot of people like to get deep enough. You know, when you get about, when my kids were little, we'd go to the beach and I wouldn't let them get deeper than this. Because when you get deeper than this, you start floating. And you can't control if a riptide comes around or not. So I would say, you can't go past here. If it hits your waist, you're out too far. Keep right here, because I need you to enjoy the waves and the water and the power, but you got to stay in control. And a lot of Christians, deep is this deep. I feel, I'm choosing to go this way. Woo, I feel it going this way. Oh, I don't want to go that far, though, so right here is good. There's a lot of churches. Oh, Holy Ghost, come. We're flowing with you. Now we're at the announcements. Thank you for visiting, Holy Ghost. Now we have some teaching and get you out of here in 40 minutes. We're very scared to get up to here in the Holy Ghost or up to here because then all of a sudden we're not in control anymore. When you're just like in a lake and you're up to here, that's great. But when you're in a river and you're up to here, you no longer have power over where you're going. You are like just a little log that's floating along, going wherever Jesus has you to go. And you know what I find? He likes to provide signs and wonders. He likes signs and wonders. And sometimes he wants you to be the sign. And he wants you to make people wonder. Now, we don't mind the wonder, like, you know, how did you get so righteous and happy? We don't mind that one. Sometimes we don't like the wonder, why did you lay on the floor during the message? Makes you wonder. That's in the Bible. There are signs that make you wonder, and God wants to use some of you to be those signs that make the world wonder, what in the world? When the world understands your entire church service, you might wonder what is going on. That's a wonder to me. If you can understand it without the Spirit of Christ, then I don't know what, you know, what we're accomplishing. There's got to be things that the church does that you need the Spirit of Christ to understand. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Do you understand where we're going with this? We are a house. Revival Life Church is a house that says, Holy Spirit, we are yours. Come with your river. Come with your wind. Come with your rain. You can come with whatever you want, Jesus. We're here. We're here to be your vessel. You be the wind, and we'll set a sail. And we'll go, hey, we'll go wherever you want to go. I'm putting up a sail. Jesus, if I feel you blowing a little bit in that direction, I'm going. Because I gave my life to you, Jesus. And I don't know where we're going all the time. But if you're there, I'm going. Come on. He said in the Word that those who are filled with the Spirit of God. It's like the wind. Not knowing where it came from or where it's going. You will be like the wind. Not like being filled with the Spirit is like the wind. He didn't say the Spirit is like the wind. He said, you, Travis, will be like the wind. You know, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where how I got here. But I know the Spirit of God has caught my sail. I know the Spirit of God has caught my sail. And people will say to you, what in the world are you doing? You could say, I don't know. But I know his voice. I know his voice. And in the past, I've listened to his voice and it has worked out very good for me. And so I'm just going to go with God. Come on. I'm going to go with God. And when you really, come on. Wow. Wow. Woo, I feel the fire now. This is good. Thank you, Jesus. He's talking to me now. Who wants to operate in signs and wonders? Who wants miracles? You know, to operate in miracles, you got to follow him. I found the miracles come later after you've learned to follow him. And so, you're about to get happy. And so sometimes when you're training for miracles, he uses your giving. If you learn to be obedient in things you don't want to do, then he'll allow you to learn how to be obedient in things you do want to do. But first, he wants to find out if you're on the team or not. Nobody hires you to be CEO right out the gate. They say, let me make sure you're dedicated enough to come and clean. Let me make sure you're dedicated enough to make sure all the other employees are good. Jesus will never hire nobody in the kingdom and say, I'm just going to let you be in charge of everything. He's like, I want to make sure that first you're on my team. Once he finds out that you're obedient on his team, then all of a sudden he'll say, you know, that's that dream in your heart? It's time. Now it's time. See, some of you have been in the season. You're like, how come I don't get to do the dream in my heart? How come? Because you haven't been doing the dream in God's heart. You just stay faithful in that season. He's got, I just feel so good about this right here. This is a word for somebody. The Lord's going to tell you, you know, well, here's what you put in the offering. You see that dude over there? Looks fine. Yeah, he's not. Pay for his groceries. See that woman over there picking out the cheap cereal? Just pay for the whole cart. He wants to see, is what you got his or not? And when he finds out that everything you got is his, then all of a sudden he'll start adding to you. Next thing you know, he'll say, see that person over there? Look at their heart. Ooh, I see cancer. Go heal it. Wow. Woo. He wants to teach you how to just get in the river and flow in the river. Some of you, he's going to teach you how to flow with God just by being nice to people you don't like. See that person over there, how they've been gossiping about you? They've been gossiping about me? Yep. Why don't you go over there and tell her she looks good today? Well, I don't want to tell her she looked good today. I want to point out that shirt don't fit. Ain't that them shoes you bought last year? Oh, they still look good, though. Oh, I remember when you wore that to that wedding and the one before that. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. And say, yeah, why don't you just go ahead and compliment her? He wants to know that everything you got is his. He wants to know that everything you got is his. Everything that you got is his. Everything that you got is his. And then, okay, let me just tell you this real quick. We're running out of time. You're just going to have to get this by faith, okay? Not everybody who goes has been sent. You're only anointed if you've been sent. Some people just went. Just went is not anointed. Sent is anointed. When God sends you, He will use authorities in your life to bless it. But a lot of people just went. When I first got saved, I got a word from Jesus. He said, day's going to come where a lot of people in your life say, we're going to go do this and this for God. And you'll say, yeah, me too. And the Lord says, they can go, you can't. I'm saving you for me. A lot of people just went. You want to be someone who's sent. Let me tell you why. I'm going to close with this. Come on up, Mike. I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm about done. Are you with me here? There's a story in 1 Samuel. Remember when David, when the prophet came to Jesse and said, where's your sons? I need to see your sons. And he lined them all up. And that was it. And he's like, you got another one. Now, the scripture doesn't say this. But some believe. And there's remember how David says in the Psalms that in iniquity I was born? Or in iniquity you formed me? Many believe that David's mom was not the first wife. And so when Jesse brought out his sons, he only brought out the legitimate ones. Now, scripture doesn't say that, but you can make a pretty strong case that David was possibly an illegitimate son. And so he left him out in the field. Are you with me here? But when David came out, the prophet called him. When that prophetic anointing came, poured oil on his head. Ooh, this is getting very good. The moment David had that oil poured over his head, he was anointed to be king. Immediately, the anointing was no longer on Saul, right? And it says right there in the next verse that a troubling spirit came because he didn't have the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God anymore protecting him. Many of you, you're looking for a position. I'll tell you like God told me. Some of you are looking for a husband. Some of you are looking for a ministry. You're looking for a prosperity through a job. And what you need is the anointing. Once the Lord has poured his horn of oil over your head, then the position is coming. Okay, I'm going to say that again. This is a pretty good word. When I got saved kind of late in life. I graduated in college when I was, 26, 27? I don't remember exactly. 20. I don't remember. I wasn't that young. 26, 27, something like that. Graduated in May. And right when I graduated college, I remember I was at church, sitting on kind of the steps of the altar before service. And all of a sudden, all these kids came and sat around me. And I was like, that's pretty weird since I'm a single guy. All these kids sitting around me. So I asked a dude, I told some guys, like, this just happened. He said, that's because the Father and Spirit has just come upon you. Well, that's a pretty good word. It's a pretty good word, right? That was about May. That November, I got engaged. That February, I got married. 9 months after that. Oh, that's a good word right there. That's 9 months. Oh, Jesus. I feel like I'm prophesying now. Watch out now. 9 months later, I was married. I didn't look for a wife. I was looking for the anointing. And when that horn of oil got poured out over my head, all the natural stuff began to line up for me to walk into it. Some of you, you got your faith on the natural stuff. Listen, you don't need a man. When the Lord anoints you to be a wife, the husband is coming. Some of you want to get pregnant, whatever. You say, what I need is to be anointed to be a mom, anointed to be a dad. Because then they come in. A year and a half later, I was a dad in the natural. From the prophecy. I was a single dude just loving Jesus. 18 months later, I had a baby. Loving Jesus. What you need is allow yourself to get swept away in the river, so the Lord could pour his horn of oil over your head. Never the same again. Revelation 22, the revelator gets caught up into heaven. He saw a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit. See, what you want is in that tree. You can't get there without the river. Oh, that's a good word. See, what you want, Mike, is in that tree. It's in that tree of life. You can't get there without the river. So you need to drink deeply of the river of God and make way for that river to flow through your life. Anybody hear what I'm talking about right now? Does anybody hear what I'm talking about right now? Does anybody hear what I'm talking about right now? There is a river. There is a river. There is a... And finally, we have a promise from God. We have a very good promise of God. And he said, listen, this river of life is supposed to come out of your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And what God wants to do, he doesn't necessarily want to get you in more church. He wants to get more of the anointing out of you. I'm getting whacked right now, Mike. I don't know how you're feeling, but this is very good right now. Just receive it right now. He's trying to get this river to flow out of you. He's trying to get this river to flow out of you. He's just trying to get this river to flow out of you. He's really looking for the river to flow out of you. Rivers. Put your hand in your belly and say, Jesus, I want a river. I want a river. I want a river. I want a river of life. I want a river of life. River of life. River of life. Listen. Listen, 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 listen. You don't want to connect yourself to nothing that does not want the river of life. You don't want to connect to nothing that does not want the river of life. There's freedom in the river. There's freedom in the river. Rivers! believers. Yeah, it's a little different right now. It's a little different service. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Rivers. River of life. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. And if you got to go, no shame. No shame. People got, you know, we've been here a long time. Let me pray for you. And then we're going to pray some more. You know, I'm going to let you go if you need to go. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Father, we love you. And we thank you for every person in the room. Right now, we thank you for every person in the room. We thank you for every person in the room. Ha! We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing right now, that you're releasing visions. Oh my gosh. We love you. Bless you.